welcome back to the podcast that the Building Trades has been working on, The Silence of the Construction Worker. Today I have a friend of mine, Ricardo Ruiz, who is going to tell you a little bit about his journey, what has happened to him since he has come to Canada, the trials and tribulations that he has faced here as a abused Hispanic worker coming to Canada looking to change his situation. And we just want to make sure that people out there in Alberta understand just how bad that these workers are being treated. And so today, Ricardo, welcome. Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Ricardo, I want to start with kind of how did this start for you? How did you end up coming to Canada? And then we'll just talk a few questions about how we ended up here today.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had a friend here that he was in Canada first. So he was working with that company that sent me to work here on Alberta. So between him, he knew my experience, my background in Mexico. He knew that I speak English and my skills of working in construction.
So you were construction in down in Mexico?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do have experience on construction back there. So that helped me to get in touch with them. I get in touch with them. Like I said, my friend was working with them, so he helped me to get the connection with them.
And you started out in Vancouver?
I started in Vancouver.
And when was that?
I started in the beginning of 2022. I started working on the site that it's on Vancouver downtown for them.
Okay. And who were you working for there?
Stivale Construction were the ones that hired me. That's a company that my friend was working for. And we were working there for another company that is called Chin Brothers in Vancouver.
Okay.
Chin Brothers. So I was working with Stivale's, but for... with Chin Brothers.
That's the
guys that had the whole high-rise building in downtown
Vancouver. A high-rise in downtown Vancouver. And how much were you getting paid there?
I was getting 25.
Okay.
25 for my experience and everything. I was getting 25.
And so they were taking taxes and workers' compensation and everything off you, or were you being paid cash?
I was getting paid cash, sir.
Wow. Yes, and you knew that was illegal?
Yes.
Okay. But they told you that they were going to make you legal. Is that right?
Yes, because of like I was trying to, like, I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
Like, I just know that I know my skills, and I know, so that's why I contact them to try to proper settle in the country to come here. So they told me they were gonna give me work first to see how I work, if I know, and if I knew English, so they were gonna pay me for cash, and then they were gonna help me with my LMIA after that. Like, they told me 6 months later.
So they put me to work. And don't think that the building trades has any problem with you coming up here. We understand why you came. You thought you were going to become legal in Canada. The money is good, better than construction back in Mexico.
Oh, yes.
But you were made promises that they didn't live up to, from what I've heard. And I've heard this story 100 times from so many different people that we're working with.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So you started out in Alberta. You started out in British Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
How did you find that work through talking to your friends? But how do other Hispanic people find that work? Is there Facebook groups? How does that?
I saw him a lot of posting on Facebook groups.
Like, and what were those?
I was already in the company.
Okay.
But I saw that he was posting, even from the same side job, posting that he needed more people.
So the workers that came to work for you had come off of the Facebook sites?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And what was the Facebook site?
There's one called Mexicans in Vancouver.
Okay.
Pretty much Mexicans in Vancouver and a Latin community in Vancouver. So they're like, if you just got in the country and I know it's not good, but if you're looking for work, you just go there and you can find some cash work.
Cash work only.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, mostly.
Mostly.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so then how did you get to Alberta?
Because then I was working with them there in that construction building. They like my skills. They know that I can receive orders and then I can give it to other guys and everything. So they told me if I want to come back here to Alberta, they were going to give me instead of $25, $30 per hour and plus $200 of food plus the hotel. And
$200 food for how long?
For a week.
$200 a week for food?
For a week.
Okay.
Yes, and also cash. So
okay.
$200 for food, $5 more for an hour and the hotel. So that's why for me, it was like, a big opportunity. In the meantime, while I wait the process of my papers. So I just decided to come here.
Okay. And so when you came here, who were you working for?
We got subcontract for Glenform. They got subcontract for Clark Builders. So okay. Here we were working for Clark Builders.
And what site was that on? Was it at one building or?
It's no, it's a it's a recreation center. We were building a bicycle track and a running track. It's here in the Coronation Park. Coronation Park. It's okay. In the 111 Avenue, next to a elementary school. It was more like a government building. We were building a recreation center.
Okay, and how many workers on your crew?
From my crew only, we were like 20 people.
20 people? Okay.
Well, everybody were Hispanic, and from Steve Valley Construction, we were 20, like Spanish, all Mexicans. From Glenform, there were 10 like Irish people, like okay. workers, and all of them were from Clark Builders.
Okay, and so you were, on your crew of 20, how many were legal and how many were illegal?
20 were illegal.
Illegal?
20, the 20. Wow. The okay. 20, all of them were brought from Vancouver.
Okay. And so was it pretty common knowledge on the site that you guys were all illegal workers?
I think they knew. Yeah, they knew. Yes, because I can feel the treatment. Like I was from those 20, I think we were like 4 or 5, they were speaking English. And I can feel that treatment. It was different, everything. They knew we were illegal.
And so how long did you work here before your accident?
I arrived here on August 1st, and my accident happened on October 6th of last year.
Okay.
So I was just 2 months here. I was going to stay until December, but like my accident happened, they just fired all the illegals and sent us back to BC.
Wow.
And okay. everybody went back to BC with your own resources. Like I paid my own flight, even from my accident, I paid my own flight back to BC, because since my accident, I didn't, nobody got in touch with me from the company and everybody.
So in your opinion, why do you think that they fired everybody after your accident?
Because they know everybody was, for my opinion, because they know everybody was illegal.
Okay.
So like it's because my accident, when it happened, I fell down. So when I wake up in the hospital. So there was like kind of like an investigation going on. So I think that's why they did it.
Okay, we're going to talk about your mm-hmm. injury on the go forward. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
No, thank you.
So let's continue on with your story. Let's talk about when did you get hurt and how did it happen?
Well, I got hurt on October 6th.
2022.
Okay. Yeah, it was last year. Already 1 year. And yes, I just remember that I was walking to get some nails. They sent me to get some nails. So I was just walking and just forgot. I know that I fell down like for more than 25 feet. But
You fell 25 feet?
Mm-hmm.
So were you up on top of a wall or what were you walking on?
No, it was already a slab. They already poured concrete like in the other side.
Okay.
And it was already handrail. So it was a safe zone. I was just walking on the plywood to get some nails. But it was like a loose plywood. So I just stepped on it and went down. But it was safe zone. It was no
fall protection.
No fall protection, no caution tape, nothing, because it didn't need it.
Okay,
it
so was, you were walking on a plywood deck with a mm-hmm. handrail around it.
Mm-hmm.
So you fell through because the plywood wasn't secured properly and you mm-hmm. fell 25 feet.
Yes.
And what happened? How did you survive that?
I think because I'm a hardhead. My heart had broken half. When I landed on my shoulder. I tried to put on my wrist. So that's why I broke my wrist. I damaged my tendons on my shoulder, and I hit my head. When I landed, I hit my head. I just opened my head. I had like a big bump. And yes, like I was hurt all my right side of my body. Like now it's my legs didn't have like any difficulties now, but I just landed like on my right side.
So pretty serious injuries. Did they take you to the hospital by ambulance?
Yes. I don't remember how. When I fall down, I lose memory, and I don't even remember the ambulance. Like that was my first time in ambulance. I don't even remember.
Wow.
So I remember that I woke up in the hospital. The safety officer from Glenform, it was there with
from
me.
From Glenform?
From Glenform. Okay. Not from Stivalet or from Clark's. No, it was from Glenform. He was there with me. But I lose memory that I was asking the same questions over and over again. Like, what happened? Why am I here in Edmonton? Like, I was afraid more than what happened. I was more afraid of my situation.
And so did you have Alberta Health coverage?
No.
No. Nothing?
Nothing. I just woke up in the hospital. I had a broken wrist. Like I said, I was asking the same questions. And Emilio was the one that gave me like a brief what happened. but he left me there in the hospital. And I went out the next day.
Oh, you left the hospital the next day?
The next day.
Okay. And did you have any visits while you were in the hospital? Nobody came to see you?
Just my workers, my friends, the guys that were working with me, the Mexicans, they were the only ones that went to visit me. And
what did they say about the job site? What had happened after you left? Do you remember if they said anything?
I remember they said they shut the site for that day and the following day too. They didn't went to work because I saw them in the hotel the next day. They were there, so they didn't went to work. So they didn't work Thursday and Friday, and they went back on Monday. They got fired on that same day, on Monday.
So they went back to work on the site on Monday, and they all were fired?
And all were fired.
And what was the reasoning for them getting fired? Did they tell them?
No.
Because the project wasn't finished, right?
No. It's even not even finished now. From 1 year later, it's not even finished.
So why do you think they all got fired the Monday after you got hurt on the Thursday?
Wednesday. I think they got fired because they were all illegals. So I think Clark and everybody, I don't know, they fired them.
Okay, but you don't know that. But no. They were fired the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, perfect. Not perfect, terrible. Normally when a worker gets hurt on the site and they're brought out of the hospital the next day, that worker is brought back to the site to find some work for them, and they pay them so that they don't have to have a workers' compensation claim against the company. That wasn't offered to you. When you got out of the hospital and you went on Monday, what did they do with you?
Well, I had an appointment, like a meeting with an OHS officer. I went there to his office. I remember, I think it was from downtown. And I just had like an interview. He told me like what happened. I told him like everything. Like
that was on the Monday.
Yeah. That was on Tuesday. On Tuesday. I was still like feeling bad on Monday, so I told him like I can go Tuesday. I went Tuesday, have that interview with him, and then on Wednesday I have an interview with Clark Builder, safety officer.
Okay.
And then I just grab a flight to Vancouver on Friday the following
day. Why did you fly to Vancouver? Were you let go as well?
Because the company didn't want to pay any more to the hotel.
Okay. But you thought you still had your job?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So then you went back to Vancouver, and what happened?
I tried to contact Steve Ballet, the company owner, to see like
where you would go to work.
Yes, what was because happening. I had a broken hand, and like I didn't know what was going to happen. I knew the other guys fly back to BC, the 20 guys, they were back to BC. So I was trying to get in touch with him about my situation because I was afraid. I was afraid of like work, everything, like my bills and everything. So I got in touch with him. He told me, he went to my house. He handed me my last paycheck. That's the only time I got a paycheck because all the time it was all cash. So he gave me a paycheck. And he just told me that don't proceed with WCB.
Told you not to file with WCB.
Not to file with WCB.
Even though you'd already had an interview with them.
Yes. But he told me not to because it was going to be bad for my immigration thing. I was going to get deported. And it would not be good for him because his deductible was going to be higher. His insurance.
His workers' compensation deductible. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I told him, like, what I can do then, and he told me like, well, I can give you work, like I can send you to work to a work site, but I say that like I can't, like I have a broken hand. So yeah. He told me that's the only thing he can do for me, like put me back to work again.
So he wasn't willing to pay you to do other work, paperwork in the office or anything like that?
Nothing.
Because that's what's offered to our workers that work here in Canada. If they are able to do some meaningful work, the employer can pay them and then not have that compensation experience where it costs them money for you to collect compensation. But that was not offered to you?
Nothing. Okay. Only thing got offered, it was work. It was go back to work.
On the tools as a construction worker, which obviously you couldn't do.
No, not even like grab a broom. Well, now I can, but back then I couldn't. It was more hard for me because I couldn't even move my right shoulder because it was very bad. So
at any point,
it was not an option for me.
Did immigration talk to you at any point?
No.
No, not at that point?
Nobody reached me after I went to the interviews. Nobody reached me. I was reaching everybody to see what I can do. Like, I reached Glen Forum, even the owner of Glen Forum, like, how if they can help me. I even reached Clark Builders. I tried to reach everybody because from the beginning, Estiva, let's say, no, they were not going to help me. So I tried to, like, you know, look for
work
help.
Work up the chain.
But okay. Nobody.
So then what happened? What did you do?
Well, when he told me that he was going to send me back to work, I told him, like, no, I can't. Even if I want to, I can't. So he got mad with me. He didn't answer the calls for me, like, in the following week. So the little bit of knowledge that I had, it was just go through WorkSafe BC to open, like, a clean. So I did that. I request the file. I send it back. But they didn't want to help me because my accident didn't happen in BC. My accident happened here in Alberta. So they send the information from BC to WCB. Then, like, a month later, I got in contact. And, yes, like, I just tried to do, like, everything by myself. But I tried to, like, because I, you know, like, I'm still 1 year after it. And I'm waiting for surgery on my shoulder. And I'm still receiving therapy on my wrist. So I knew back then that work, it was not an option. It was more like health treatment. And then go back to work. But I know, like, just going back for the tools is not an option for me. That's why I tried to fight, like, for help, like, medical help.
So through that time, from when you went back to Vancouver and trying to find help, and a month here waiting and a month here, how were you surviving? What were you doing for money?
When I opened the claim, I was they helped me. I was collecting the
Alberta WCB?
Yeah, Alberta WCB. I was collecting, like, $1,000 for a week. So okay. October, November was good. December, I knew about my claim that he sent information that it was not.
Who's he?
Estivalet.
Okay.
Ernesto, that's the name of the owner, Ernesto okay. Estivalet. He sent information regarding that I was not working with him and everything. So that's why I didn't receive any compensation. Like, they lower it down and they just keep it like that since November last year.
And I don't understand when he says did he say that you were a temporary worker or something?
Mm-hmm. No, he said that I was a self-employed.
Self-employed.
when he sent his report, employee report, to WCB, in that report he said that I was a self-employed and that we were just three people working here. And
three, but you said it was 20.
We were 20. I have proofs that we were 20. He said that we were three. So
okay. So the employer is not telling, in your opinion, the employer is not telling the truth, the workers' compensation?
Since the beginning, no. And I know because he got mad with me that I opened the claim and everything. So he did everything to not help me since the beginning.
So to make sure that you're safe and then I'm safe, mm-hmm. You have all of this in documentation and in reports?
For sure.
From WCB?
Yes. Even the message that I start working with him, even tell me what to do. I have all those messages on my phone. I have everything. Even okay. I have everything. That's okay. Why I'm so, here, because I appreciate this time, like, to share my story. But also I'm here because even having everything is not enough. I want to just to share this story so everybody
fair
can
enough.
Know.
And that's why we're here today too. We're not here to out any companies. We're not here to do anything that is disparaging to anyone. What we're here to do today is to bring attention to a situation where, fine, you can come up and make $30 an hour and mm-hmm. come to Alberta and make some good money, which $30 an hour to all of you out there is not good money for the role of supervisor that you were doing there with mm-hmm. 20 people under you and also being a carpenter. Even a carpenter with no supervision experience is not going to start at $30 an hour. You're going to make a lot more than that because they're treating you like a journey person mm-hmm. at that time. The reason that we're here today is to expose that if Hispanic people come here and they are given all of these promises with hope of getting a true work permit and they're led down the chain, everything's good until they get hurt. And once they get hurt, they experience what Ricardo is experiencing right now. And it's just not right. It's not right in Canada. It's not right anywhere. But we have standards here in Canada that we have to follow. And the building trades is going to help you and advocate for you on the go forward. And we cannot allow this to happen to more people. And so that's why we're here today. Okay, so here we are today. I know you have a 900-page workers' compensation file. We are going to find an advocate for you for WCB because I know you need to have surgery. I know that you're having a baby in November mm-hmm. and there's so many challenges for you right now. Can you give any advice as to what people that are thinking of coming here and working on a tourist visa, what would you do different? Tough question.
Yes.
And I can give you some time to think about it. But what we're trying to do here is to help other people that are thinking about coming this route. I know that there's Facebook groups out there luring them. I went on TikTok and on Facebook, and all you have to do is punch in cash work Hispanic, and you will see these ridiculous ads saying that they're going to look after you. They are not going to look after you. I've seen those ads. I've seen the how those labor brokers charge the Hispanic people and charge the company to find Hispanic people. It has been the detriment and the death of the civil construction industry in Canada, and it's leading to worse. It's leading into the mechanical trades and into other trades where you need to be certified and you need to have these tickets. And at the same time that this is happening, people are trying to degrade our training here in Alberta and across Canada with apprenticeship changes. And we have to stand firm or we're going to lose this construction industry to a group of mistreated and abused workers. And so, again, have you thought about it? What do you think you would do different?
Well, like, now that I know that, like, building trades, it's just like, if it was me coming first time in Canada, like, get in touch with, like, a trade company or someone, like, that can willing, like, with my experience trying to, like, get a proper work permit. So, like, get in touch with them. Most of Hispanic people, I'm going to talk more about my people, the Mexicans.
Okay.
What we get here is you try to reach on our Mexican because it's more likely you think it's easier.
They've been here already.
They already made it.
Yeah.
You want to get in touch to them, like how you can, you know, like. So if I come back again, I just will say, like, get in touch more with big companies and like, I don't know. So it's not get involved too much with my own people. I would say that because I think they were trying to help me. Like I feel like very honest with him in the beginning. I was honest with him and I thought he was feeling me more like a friend and not like only my boss. I feel it more like a friendship. And being me in this situation, I just feel by myself. So I think I wouldn't do that to get more in touch with my people. I was more. If there were more like proper ways to get like a work permit, like it's even for me, like I had some, like I said, experience doing construction in Mexico, and even I have some English. I think my English is good.
Oh, it's very
good. I
thought
it was gonna be easier for me to get a work permit, but if it was not like that, I can understand my other people doesn't maybe have the language barrier.
Well, part of the problem with this system is that as soon as you get a work permit, then they have to start paying what other contractors have to pay. Workers' compensation, you have to pay tax, they have to pay into CPP. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more cost. And so these people never have intention of giving work permits. That's not how this system works. This system works on the abuse of you and then send you home and have more people come up. And that's how it's been for the last little while. We need workers like you, Ricardo, to come up into Canada. We are desperate for workers. We have to find a way where when you come up, you're protected and that you are treated like a true worker, like a true Canadian. We cannot have this system that keeps rolling on and just spitting people out and using up people as slaves in this country. It has to stop. We have to stop it. We need to go to the politicians out there that set these rules. And I've talked to very, very interested politicians in this. Kelly McCauley told me, I don't mind people bidding work and taking on work, but they need to follow the rules that are established. And if they don't like the rules, they need to change the rules. They don't get to cheat the system. And that's what's happening with these companies. They're coming in, they're cheating the system, they're beating out other companies, and they're forcing other companies to adopt the same work model where Hispanic people are just the fuel that goes in the machine and the exhaust that comes out of the machine, and they never get to better their lives. I'm sure you came up here wanting to better your life. I know you're having your first child. I know you have a wife back home. I understand what you have to do and why you have to do it. And we commit to you as the building trades that we are going to be part of the system that changes this broken system. We are going to try and help. We are going to find a path for young Hispanic people with construction experience and that have English, such good English you have, to come up here legally and make a good life and immigrate here properly and not have to work in the dark and hidden from us.
And that's pretty much what all my people want, you know, talking about my Mexicans is that they're all hard workers. They work very hard and we're not even used for this weather, you know, but we can work outside in the sun, in the snow. It doesn't matter. We're just here for work. And that's what I want everybody to understand. We just came here for looking for an opportunity that maybe we don't have in our countries. And yes, it just came here and worked. And like for me, that I had an accident, and it's not what I was expecting. And it has been more like a nightmare coming here than what I thought. So
we're going to stop this. Thank you so much for coming today. We are going to do something about this. We are not going to let this go. Building Trades is here to work with you. We appreciate the political parties that are coming out to us to help us on this. The city, the province, the federal government, help us to help people like Ricardo. We're going to do better. Hispanic people out here watching this, contact us. Let us know what's happening with these companies. We have allies now in government that are going to help us. We're going to put an end to this. Thank you very much, and thank you, Ricardo. I appreciate you coming.